Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Boom, boom, I walk the line. Welcome back. Gordy Shaw's kind of a cowboy. You can't keep a good coach down. Eventually, he's got a coach. That dog's got to hunt. He's got to find a place to be breaking down some X's and O's in their team. Gordy Shaw's a longtime coach at several different colleges, worked a couple of high schools and everything else. And he finds life again this spring and summer in the newly created USFL coach for his old colleague who used to be an assistant coach here as well with him, Kevin Sumlin, down at Houston. And they've got the USFL, which plays all its games in Alabama in one city, and they gather in the bubble and they just play through it. And I go, that is one interesting study as to how people get through that, do it, all that stuff. Joining us down the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, the one and only Gordy Shaw. Gordy, you just can't stay away from coaching, can you? Tell me this, what led you to the USFL?
Well, Kevin gave me a call back just after Christmas and New Year's, and said he'd like to coach with me. And I said, let me think about it. And once they got the details worked out of how it was going to work and all that other stuff, I decided to go ahead. I've never been able to coach at the professional level. So it's been enjoyable. The players that I coach are the best athletes I've ever been able to coach in my life. Mm-hmm. Their football knowledge level is at a very, very high level. So it's been very, very interesting and exciting that way. There's been our ups and downs. And then there's been a lot of things that I've never, ever had happen in coaching. I mean,
such as what?
We just beat the undefeated team,
yep,
in the USFL Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also lost four games on the last play of the game by 1 point.
Last play of the game, four times.
Last play of the game, we've had the lead, and they've scored or kicked a field goal to beat us. So it cuts both ways, Mike, you know. Football is football.
Okay, but you coaches, you always want to have full control over your team. You know, you can't get enough hours with your team. You got it down there because there ain't nothing else going on. They're not going home. They're staying in motels. How much time do you spend on football a day? How do you do this?
No, so, I mean, we as coaches spend a lot of time on football because you take a Division II coaching staff,
yep,
you know, NC2A division. That's about the size of our staffs.
Okay.
We have no GAs, no IT people, nothing like that.
Okay.
So we got to draw our cards, make our scripts, print our practice plans. We do it all.
Okay.
So it's like that. Really, it's a myth that we're all here in this one hotel. A lot of the coaches are. But once the week and a half, we only had a week and a half of football camp.
Yeah,
you know, to get them ready.
Yep.
The players, they could move out, and they found that it was a lot cheaper to get two or three of them together in an apartment than it would be to stay and pay the price of living here.
Okay.
So the next hurdle is we've got four practice sites.
Okay.
And eight football teams. So one team practices in the morning, one team practices in the afternoon. It's like our practice site is Sanford University, you know, where Bobby Bowden started.
Sure.
His coaching career. So New Orleans goes there in the morning, so they get on the bus at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they go over to Sanford, and they get back about 12:30. Well, we meet with our players in the morning, and then
Where do you meet at? Did they give you a locker room or a meeting room at the hotel or what?
No. So the players have a locker room across the street in the Birmingham Convention Center.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the weight room is also,
yep.
a made-up weight room.
Yep.
And the training facilities and all that stuff. And then we have, four times eight. So that's 32 meeting rooms on the atrium level of the Sheraton here where they would have conventions, you know, and have meeting
yep.
rooms.
Yep.
So each team gets four of those.
Okay.
So you can break up after you have but they're not very big.
Yep.
But so we use them in the morning, and then when Birmingham comes back, they meet with their players until about 5 o'clock. Once they get back and their guys go get lunch and whatever treatment, we go practice from 12:30 to 3:30. Then we come back and grab a bite to eat, and then we go back into coaching. So then we split them up two and two. They get two of them. We get two of them of the four to meet until whatever time of night till we get the next day's practice and game planning and all that stuff. So
sure.
it's like Groundhog Day, you know, 6 days a week.
Sure. But Gordy, you get to the games and you don't have many fans there when you're playing a bubble like that. Does it feel different when you're coaching a game, or does it feel the same? Does it feel the same in the locker room when you win or lose, or is it different?
Oh, it's a little different on game day. Now, like Saturday, we played Birmingham.
Yep.
So there was 30,000 fans in the stands, right? Because they're following their team.
Their hometown team, yeah.
If you're fortunate enough to play on a day that they're playing on, the way that USFL has done it, excuse me, Mike, is one ticket gets you into both games on that day.
Okay.
And kids get in free, and then they always have a Birmingham kind of like giveaway. You know, one day yep. it was Beach Childs, one day it's this, one day, you know how they do it at the Gopher game.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that game usually has maybe 5,000 to 8,000 fans that come early or stay after the game. Follow me?
Yeah, yep.
On the Friday night game or the Sunday game, I don't think Birmingham's played on a Sunday yet, if I get this right. They usually always get the night
prime time, yep.
slot on Saturday.
Yep.
But we have not played on a Friday either, but we've drawn six of the 8 weeks we've played games. Well, really nine now. We've played on Sunday.
Okay.
And we play next Sunday in the last game of the year.
Last game of the
against
year.
New Orleans.
And then on to Canton for some, mm-hmm. yeah. Now, well, tell me this. Yeah. What keeps Kevin Sumlin coaching? He coached at Houston. He coached A&M. He coached Arizona. He's made a lot of money. What brings him back to coaching? What drives him?
I think he still loves football. And I think in his heart, he would like to give it one more go.
Sure. See if he can find a job again somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, this is a job. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. this is his head coaching opportunity at this level.
Yep.
But you don't know what springs from this. it's really kind of funny because, you know, what you would know because you've been covering Gopher football for so long, but Noel Mazzoni's here.
Yeah.
Mark Snyder's here.
I saw Snyder's on the staff, yeah.
Yeah, on our staff.
I couldn't believe how many former head coaches there are. Snyder was the head coach at Marshall. You got the former Kansas head coach, and they're position coaches now.
And Steve Loney's here.
Steve Loney, yep. I was just talking to one of his Iowa State players yesterday, yeah.
Yep. So I kind of didn't know what to expect. You know, Mike Riley and I, he's the head coach of New Jersey Generals. Yeah. We coached together back in 1985 and 86 at Northern Colorado.
Wow. He ended up in Nebraska for a while, and of course, San Diego Chargers.
Yeah. Chargers and Oregon State. And, you know, so who knows? Having been down at the high school level the last 4 years, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21, And being pretty much retired, this has been a big ask. You know, I turned 69 while we were down here. I've been down here since March 15th.
Wow.
So living in a hotel room. So all that stuff that we used to do when we were younger.
Yeah.
And it was no big deal. Yeah. It kind of gets old.
It's a big deal now if you want. I got one last question for you, Gordy. I don't want to end on a sad note, but I meant to reach out to you earlier. The death of Marion Barber III, obviously, you were the offensive line coach. He was the running back. You work in sync. You knew him because you also recruited Minnesota so hard.
Yeah, I recruited Marion. I recruited his brother, Dom.
Yep.
I did not recruit Thomas because Thomas was in a diaper. Mm-hmm. When I recruited the two older brothers, I've been in touch with the family several times since this happened. You know, I had an opportunity that I didn't take to coach at Hamlin in 2011. Marion was living up in Minneapolis at that time, and I was going to have him be my running back coach if I did take that job.
Yeah.
Then in 14, I was down at the University of Houston when he got in a little issue with, you know, the law.
Yep.
And I could tell, I mean, and I don't want people to take us the wrong way, but Marion wasn't Marion. The young man that I recruited, he's such a tremendous person. And the parents, I know Marion Sr. and Karen very well.
Yep.
And Dom lives very close to my home.
Great guy.
And I guess I've been able to help them tie up some loose ends through some connections down here at USFL have helped them in some of their questions that they've had. I think, are they going to have a memorial on the 22nd?
I'm not sure of a date.
Yeah. Dom didn't. Dom,
but boy, that had to hit you hard when you got the news, though, huh?
Oh, I always would tell our running backs and my offensive line these Marion Barber stories while we were playing games here, and then they came in, and I had already known on that Wednesday evening what happened, but they were all very, very appreciative and said, you doing okay, coach? I said, yeah, but it's hard to get over.
Yeah.
It's hard to get past. It was a bad week for me.
Yep.
Because I knew him so well, and he was such a great person. The family is, and I guess Thomas got married last Friday.
Yeah, had a wedding there too. Yep.
And that was Marion's birthday, also, I believe. But it's just too bad that it happened the way it did.
Yep.
And he was kind of out of touch with his family.
Yep.
For the on and off for the last couple, 3-4 years, and If I could have, I would have jumped in the car and gone down and talked with him. If anybody would have had any inkling of what was going on. But, the Gopher Nation has lost a great one there.
Sure.
But it's just a...
Just a tough one. Yep.
A really tough one. But, you know, there's a couple of Gophers up here in this league. Green, I think, is his last name. I mean, they came after
that kid out of East Ridge, yeah.
Lineman, offensive lineman, and the other guy's a tight end or a H-back or something like that. But I'm looking forward to driving back up to Minnesota.
I'll bet you are, man. I'm going to call you soon, okay? I'll let you go, but I'm going to call you soon, and I want to go out to lunch and hear some of the real stories.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you all
the real ones. All right, Gordy, we'll let you go, but great to talk to you, and thanks for giving us some time.
Yes, thank you, Mike. Take care.
You bet. Gordy Shaw. I got to, there's no profession like the coaching profession. I'll explain what I mean when we come back. Stay with us. REO Speedwagon Reunion Tour 93. 8-track tapes available in the concourse for just $6.99. You too can ride with Rio. Tell you what, that was real music back in the day. Not like they do now. This is real music. I grew up in an area where these guys were artists. They were truly committed to their profession, not just throw it in there and get a bunch of people to mix it together. And, you know, you got 18 different mixes on it. And no, not in that day, man. They just turned it out. It was pure. It was, man. If you got the right song, the right night in the right dorm room, you know, things happen. That's all I want to say, but REO Speedwagon, I have to thank for some of that. I don't know of all the professions that I've seen, maybe there's one, but I don't know of any that's more addictive than coaching. I don't think there is one that I can think of that I've seen. The people that coach are always coaches for the rest of their lives. Even if they get out of coaching, it is so ingrained in their blood that they never really leave coaching. Gordy Shaw is a great example. He's 69 years old. What does he need to prove coaching? He's coached all over the country. He's done everything he could do as an offensive line coach, and then he gets a call one day. And as soon as he does, he starts to salivate because coaching is who he is, what he does. And guys will travel all over the country to coach. Why do they do that, you say? Why not just get a job that pays something comparable where you don't have to leave your home and sell your house and go all these places? Because the addiction is so intoxicating to be on a team developing young players and to walk out on the field on Saturday or Sunday or whatever it is, or Friday night, is so electrifying. It just, and it will take them places all over the country just to keep their profession going. This staff that Kevin Sumlin has in the USFL, which is a league that may or may not make it beyond this year, there's nobody at the games, et cetera. Kevin Sumlin coached the University of Houston, was the head coach. He was Adrian Peterson's offensive coordinator at Oklahoma. He was at Texas A&M. He's at the University of Arizona. 3 head coaching jobs. He's got a ton of money. Why come back? Because it's an addiction. It's an addiction to coach. There's nothing else in life that can fulfill it like coaching does. To have that group in the meeting room and to think about a common cause, you're trying to get these people to work together to beat another team, and then there's these variables because you don't know what the other team's going to do to you. So it keeps you so sharp and so intense and so in tune, and you never feel more alive than you do when you're on the sidelines trying to win a football game. And it's not just football. It's other sports, too. That guys will commit their entire career and bounce all over the country just to be able to wear a whistle, put the ball cap on backwards. And it used to be carry a clipboard. Now it's just that you pull out the iPad and show them how to do it. But it is the most intoxifying profession that I can think of. And they love all that goes with that. And then there's the other part. You know, people in the public, you're interesting if you're a coach, right? You get a little bit different look than others do. But I've never seen anything as powerful in any career as the addiction to coach, to form a team, to develop people, to build relationships. And that's what it's about. They love those relationships. They love to compete. Everything you'd want in life, great relationships, opportunity to compete, adrenaline of performance, all that stuff gets wrapped into one. And it's really hard to leave that. And you'd be surprised the guys that will go to, and like I said, on some of the staff, assistant coaches, one was the head coach at Marshall University. He was on Glenn Mason's staff, Mark Snyder. They got the former head coach of Kansas as like a wide receivers coach. I mean, he was the head coach at Kansas. He's now the wide receivers coach. How powerful is that addiction? In some respects, it's a blessing, and in some respects, it's a curse. When we come back, talking Mr. and Miss Baseball, it's coming up at the end of this week. How they formulate that in a short spring. How does Minnesota rank? We'll find out when we come back. Stay with us. Mike Max, Sports to the Max, taking up to the Twins and Seattle Mariners here on WCCO. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. High school tournament. Rob Horn will join us a bit later. He's the architect of the Bedell St. Margaret's boys lacrosse team that has been number one in the state and taken prisoners here. They open it tomorrow in that heat. We'll talk to him about that. How do you prepare for the heat when you haven't had any heat? You have no dress rehearsals this year. You go from sweatshirts and gloves to all of a sudden you're in t-shirts and make sure you get the suntan lotion and all the Gatorade, and that's what they'll do. Joining us as we prepare for the Minnesota Twins and Seattle Mariners, on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, Matt Williams. He is in charge of, one of the people in charge of, the Mr. Baseball Miss Softball Award, which will be presented this Sunday at Target Field in conjunction with the Twins. I have the pleasure and honor of emceeing the event again this Sunday, and it's always kind of a fun foray because in softball, baseball, the seasons come upon us so quickly, and then they're over, and you don't get a chance to spend a lot of time watching these teams, so you're not quite sure who's all good and who's not, but Matt Williams is in the middle of it, and he joins us now. Matt, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Max. Thank you, Mikey.
What do we got? Explain to the people listening when they put together who decides who do you get out there to watch these players that you whittle it down to just the five and then eventually a winner in each category.
Well, we rely on the experts, and the experts are the coaches in high school, college, and those pro scouts as well for baseball that have their pulse on what's going on here in Minnesota. And so softball as well.
So they watch carefully, and then do you bring it to a committee meeting, or how does it come together?
Well, we're not voters. The Minnesota Sports Alliance, formerly the Minutemen, we don't vote on this. We just
facilitate.
Essentially facilitate. Yes, yes. So we'll tally those votes up, and then based on the rankings that are provided, we announce who the finalists are.
And then on Sunday, we name the winner. And I guess I've never asked. So whoever's on that committee though decides, in essence, they vote on the winner.
The winner, Mike.
What?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what it'll be. And you actually you won't find out until Sunday.
No, I have no idea. I never have any idea when I go there. I just sit and listen to the resumes. Matt, are you surprised sometimes by how many good players there are? I'm always surprised by not just who makes it, but who doesn't make it that's really good.
Well, that's the problem here in Minnesota. The softball and the baseball players, there's such a great amount of them. It's really a tough decision to make when it comes down to it. Not really a decision. It's just the numbers that make the decision. But ultimately, when you get a full season like we've had finally, it's nice to be able to rely on those players to define themselves to the coaches.
Now, explain the Sports Alliance and the Minutemen and these groups and how they come together and do things for the state.
Well, back when we lost the Lakers, we didn't have pro sports in town. So there was a group called the Minutemen back in the 50s, and they got together, St. Paul and Minneapolis, and they raised the bonds and built the Met Stadium, which brought the Twins and the Vikes to Minnesota. Obviously, the pro teams don't need the businessmen's help anymore. They've got that all taken care of. But ultimately, our mission now is to honor the elite athletes and amateur athletes in Minnesota. And then what we really do is they're focusing on how do we keep, Mike, how do we have kids stay in sports at a youth level? And when you've got an organization like the Twins Community Fund that's really behind softball and baseball all the way throughout Minnesota and the upper Midwest, and you got a guy like you, one of the best in the biz, really helping to keep that alive in our youth and keep it exciting, it really makes it much easier for us. But ultimately, there are parents or in some cases, single-parent homes, who have to make a decision about, and you know this, how much it costs to play sports.
Oh, it just sickens me. You know what really sickens me, Matt, and you understand this, is not, you know, it'd be easier if people were transparent, but some of them, because of pride, because they don't, their kids don't want to tell anybody, they don't say, hey, the reason I'm not playing is because we can't afford it. And they come up with a different reason or excuse, and it just breaks my heart when I find out later that the kids have done this.
Yeah, exactly. When you have these great coaches, you know, two of which will honor, you know, in baseball and softball this year of lifetime achievements, you have a mentorship built into sports. And, you know, those peer pressure ages, sixth grade to 12th grade, what our goal and mission is to find a way to raise the money, have a well from our 501c3 foundation, and reach out. And we're going to be working with, athletic directors and coaches for high school boys and girls programs, and finding a way to supplement those in need who really want to stay in sports but can't. And I think with those coaches that we have, those great coaches in Minnesota, I'd rather keep them in organized activities versus, you know, unattended after school.
Absolutely. How are we doing on that front? Are we able to provide a lot of opportunities? Are we able to identify a lot of the kids that need it?
Well, and that's going to be a more of a come together situation. That's come, you know, after COVID here with that mission. We needed to reboot this program, so we're building out our board. I've got Mark Parrish. You might know Mark.
Yeah,
he's going to be on our board with us. I've been knocking on Justin Morneau's door. I'm going to probably knock on yours, Mike.
Keep knocking. And, keep knocking on Morneau's door. He's got access. You know,
he's got too many kids. But you know, it's a great it's so worth it when you have a mission, you have the right people around you, and then you have an organization like the Minnesota Twins and the Minnesota Twins Community Fund really supporting this initiative with us to help keep youth ball alive.
Yeah, how did you get involved in it, Matt?
Well, back in 98, I had a boss when I was employed, and he said, you know, go find a community event that you're passionate about. And I was selfish, so I decided I would love sports so much, I would join the Minutemen. And the Minutemen, eventually, when I took over the presidency of it, I really felt that we needed to be more inclusive. And so what we had, you know, since changed the name to is the Minnesota All Sports Alliance. And that is inclusive of all, you know, all sexes, all races, and not that it wasn't any, you know, void of that. But ultimately, we are fully inclusive. So we do high school boys and girls sports, senior athletes, and we celebrate. And so I got involved, you know, kind of sitting in the back of the room and watching some of these bigwigs from the old days impress me. And I just decided I needed to be part of something, not just sit in the background.
Yeah, part of the solution, right?
You know it.
So if somebody wants to get involved with the Sports Alliance, what do they do?
Well, there's a number of different ways. I mean, I'd certainly be happy to speak with them directly. However, I think the best way is we've got the Minnesota Minutemen.com is also funneling to the Minnesota Sports Alliance .com. So we go by the acronym MASA, M-A-S-A. Yep. And, certainly welcome to have. We'll be putting on the Mr. Lacrosse, Miss Lacrosse Award, as well as the Mr. Baseball, Miss Softball Award, the Play Ball Minnesota Banquet coming up this Sunday. And, we'd love to have people visit us. Our website is changing over from the Minnesota Minutemen, and it will be, you know, currently there people can find us online there, and the Minnesota All Sports Alliance as well.
Well, Matt, I look forward to seeing you on Sunday, and all due respect, one thing I've never wanted to be called in my life was a Minuteman.
Yeah,
we'll leave it at
that. Why do you think I changed that for, Mike? You're a super fun guy to know that.
All right, big guy. Good to visit with you.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
You bet, Matt Williams. I've been called a lot of things in my life. I just don't know if I ever want to be called a Minuteman. Back after this. No, I'm sorry. I flashback. College. Sorry about that. Hammer, you know, we were just talking about the Mr. Baseball, Miss Softball. You grew up in Wisconsin. Are these states mirror images of each other? Are they much different sports-wise? in terms of the high school level and whatnot?
I think they're pretty similar. The only difference I know seems like Minnesota's always a week behind whatever Wisconsin's doing in terms of like state titles and playoffs.
When they
like
play.
That. Yes.
But like a lot of good football players come out of Wisconsin.
Yes.
It seems like more than Minnesota, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the Wisconsin roster, the Minnesota roster. It just seems like a lot of Wisconsin kids feed you know, big programs.
Yeah, I don't really have a reason why that is exactly, but, you know, Wisconsin's always had a strong group of teams in high school level in the state. I mean, I know growing up where I was from, Antigo was pretty powerful in the 70s and 80s.
Yep.
And then, you know, as you know, the city, as you know, time went on, the city enrollment decreased and everything. So now we went from being a D1 program to a D3 program just because people are graduating and leaving town. Okay. Well, other schools in our conference, like D.C. Everest, which is just outside of Wausau, Wisconsin.
I hear that name a lot.
Has been a constant players. Powerhouse for most of the time, too, along with Stevens Point and Wisconsin Rapids. Those are the big schools you had to deal with in the Wisconsin Valley Conference back in my day.
And maybe part of it is, you know, Minnesota recruits Wisconsin heavy because Wisconsin can't take them all. They're the only Division I school there, so maybe that's why it resonates with me, huh?
Well, I think, I remember when Barry Alvarez got there, I think his plan was to build a wall around the state of Wisconsin, take the players he could.
The ones he wanted.
And then you like he had these hot recruiting areas like New Jersey and Missouri too, I believe. And that's
how New Jersey did him well.
Yes, they did.
The New Jersey pipeline. I mean, Ron Dane obviously the focal point, but there were many, many more.
Exactly. So I mean, you know, like if you want to get a good lineman or so, Wisconsin's got a ton of them because you know all we do is French run the football.
And so they've come to Minnesota and got a couple linemen, but in general, most of those linemen come from Wisconsin, huh?
Yes, for the most part, from what I've noticed, yes.
Okay. Yeah, interesting because I've always, you know, I don't spend a lot of time comparing and contrasting. Obviously, hockey's, you know, there's more teams playing hockey here, et cetera, you know, so you're not going to see as many.
Yeah, we're way behind you guys on hockey.
But I always wondered, like, if you were to take the top basketball teams in Wisconsin high school versus the top basketball teams in Minnesota, would it be virtually, you know, would they be alternating who wins and who doesn't? Or are they that close? Or is one, you know, are the teams from Milwaukee much better than the teams from Minneapolis? I don't know.
I feel the teams from Minneapolis would probably be the teams from Milwaukee.
Really?
Yeah, cause it seems like Minneapolis, like the same schools see there year after year, like De La Salle or Minneapolis North or so forth. Well, Milwaukee, it's like, you know, some years it's going to be Milwaukee, Washington. Some year Milwaukee, Vincent or Milwaukee, King. It's like those three schools kind of rotate year by year depending on who the classes and everything.
Yeah. I was with De La Salle's basketball coach's brother yesterday, and his nephew's about. He's about all of 4'10". Uh-huh. Maybe he's five. He's like 5'1" or 5'2". He's in eighth grade, and he's playing with the ninth graders yesterday. This AAU tournament that I'm watching, and I mean to tell you, he is fun to watch. He has no fear. He gets through. And then on top of it, he's not only a good basketball player, but he's a good wrestler. I posted a picture of it on my Facebook page. If you get a chance, take a look at it, folks. And I just put the caption, "Ain't the size of the man in the fight," which is, you know, you maybe have heard it, not the size of the fight and the dog in the fight, but the fight and the dog. So I started with that kind of quote, ain't the size of the man in the fight. And it's him being guarded by a guy that's about 6'1". And so if you want to check it out on my Facebook page, it's there. And you can give your thoughts. But to me, it's like, this is the circuit. This is balling, man. This is AAU ball. This is where you just go play. I don't care how big you are, but I get to the basket on you. I'm going to lock you up. I'm going to do something that you're not going to be able to guard me because of. And it's a cool picture because it's this Akeem, and he's looking this kid straight up. He's got the ball, and it's like you can almost see it. It's like, I'm going to break you down. I'm going to break your ankles, man. I don't care how big I am. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to go around you. Don't give me the open three. I'm going to make you pay. And that's kind of the way he plays the game. But he's also a great wrestler, which is also in the wintertime. And I don't think I've ever heard of that combination where someone had got to that age and they were still really good at both sports. And so he's trying to figure out a way, can I participate in both going forward? I've never heard of that, but I guess it could happen. When we come back, how are you going to play in the heat tomorrow? We'll ask the Benilde St. Margaret's number one ranked coach, the veteran Rob Horn, about just that as the lacrosse state tournament and much more kicks off this week here in Minnesota. That's coming up next as we take you up to the Twins in Seattle on News Talk 830 WCCO, your home to the Timberwolves and the Twins.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Boom, boom, I walk the line. Welcome back. Gordy Shaw's kind of a cowboy. You can't keep a good coach down. Eventually, he's got a coach. That dog's got to hunt. He's got to find a place to be breaking down some X's and O's in their team. Gordy Shaw's a longtime coach at several different colleges, worked a couple of high schools and everything else. And he finds life again this spring and summer. And the newly created USFL coach for his old colleague who used to be an assistant coach here as well with him, Kevin Sumlin down at Houston, and they've got the USFL, which plays all its games in Alabama in one city, and they gather in the bubble and they just play through it. And I go, that is one interesting study as to how people get through that, do it, all that stuff. Joining us down the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, the one and only Gordy Shaw. Gordy, you just can't stay away from coaching, can you? Tell me this, what led you to the USFL?
Well, Kevin gave me a call back just after Christmas and New Year's, and said he'd like to coach with me. And I said, let me think about it. And once they got the details worked out of how it was going to work and all that other stuff, I decided to go ahead. I've never been able to coach at the professional level. So it's been enjoyable. The players that I coach are the best athletes I've ever been able to coach in my life. Mm-hmm. Their football knowledge level is at a very, very high level. So it's been very, very interesting and exciting that way. There's been our ups and downs. And then there's been a lot of things that I've never, ever had happen in coaching. I mean,
such as what?
We just beat the undefeated team,
yep,
in the USFL Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also lost four games on the last play of the game by 1 point.
Last play of the game, four times.
Last play of the game, we've had the lead, and they've scored or kicked a field goal to beat us. So it cuts both ways, Mike, you know. Football is football.
Okay, but you coaches, you always want to have full control over your team. You know, you can't get enough hours with your team. You got it down there because there ain't nothing else going on. They're not going home. They're staying in motels. How much time do you spend on football a day? How do you do this?
No, so, I mean, we as coaches spend a lot of time on football because you take a Division II coaching staff,
yep,
you know, NC2A division. That's about the size of our staffs.
Okay.
We have no GAs, no IT people, no, nothing like that.
Okay.
So we got to draw our cards, make our scripts, print our practice plans. We do it all.
Okay.
So it's like that. Really, it's a myth that we're all here in this one hotel. A lot of the coaches are. But once the week and a half, we only had a week and a half of football camp.
Yeah,
you know, to get them ready.
Yep.
The players could move out, and they found that it was a lot cheaper to get two or three of them together in an apartment than it would be to stay and pay the price of living here.
Okay.
So the next hurdle is we've got four practice sites.
Okay.
And eight football teams. So one team practices in the morning, one team practices in the afternoon. It's like our practice site is Sanford University, you know, where Bobby Bowden started.
Sure.
His coaching career. So New Orleans goes there in the morning, so they get on the bus at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they go over to Sanford, and they get back about 12:30. Well, we meet with our players in the morning. And then
where do you meet at? Did they give you a locker room or a meeting room at the hotel or what?
No. So the players have a locker room across the street in the Birmingham Convention Center.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the weight room is also.
Yep.
A made-up weight room.
Yep.
And the training facilities and all that stuff. And then we have, 4 times 8. So that's 32 meeting rooms on the atrium level of the Sheraton here, where they would have conventions, you know, and have meeting rooms.
Yep.
So each team gets 4 of those.
Okay.
So you can break up after you have your, but they're not very big.
Yep.
But so we use them in the morning, and then when Birmingham comes back, they meet with their players until about 5 o'clock. Once they get back and their guys go get lunch and whatever treatment, we go practice from 12:30 to 3:30. Then we come back and grab a bite to eat, and then we go back into coaching. So then we split them up 2 and 2. They get 2 of them. We get 2 of them of the 4 to meet until whatever time of night till we get the next day's practice and game planning and all that stuff. So
sure.
It's like Groundhog Day, you know, 6 days a week.
Sure. So, but Gordy, you get to the games and you don't have many fans there when you're playing a bubble like that. Does it feel different when you're coaching a game, or does it feel the same? Does it feel the same in the locker room when you win or lose, or is it different?
Oh, it's a little different on game day. Now, like Saturday, we played Birmingham,
yep.
So there was 30,000 fans in the stands, right? Because they're following their team.
Their hometown team, yeah.
If you're fortunate enough to play on a day that they're playing on, the way that USFL has done it, excuse me, Mike, is 1 ticket get you into both games on that day.
Okay.
And kids get in free, and then they always have a Birmingham kind of like giveaway. You know, 1 day, yep, it was Beach Charles, 1 day it's this, 1 day, you know how they do it at the Gopher game.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that game usually has maybe 5,000 to 8,000 fans that come early or stay after the game. Follow me?
Yeah, yep.
On the Friday night game or the Sunday game, I don't think Birmingham's played on a Sunday yet, if I get this right. They usually always get the night
prime time, yep,
slot on Saturday.
Yep.
But we have not played on a Friday either, but we've drawn 6 of the 8 weeks we've play games. Well, really 9 now. We've played on Sunday.
Okay.
And we play next Sunday in the last game of the year.
Last game of the
against
year.
New Orleans.
And then on to Canton for some, mm-hmm, yeah. Now, well, tell me this. Yeah. What keeps Kevin Sumlin coaching? He coached at Houston. He coached A&M. He coached Arizona. He's made a lot of money. What brings him back to coaching? What drives him?
I think he still loves football. And I think in his heart, he would like to give it one more go.
Sure. See if he can find a job again somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, this is a job. You know, I mean, mm-hmm, this is his head coaching opportunity at this level.
Yep.
But you don't know what springs from this. It's really kind of funny because, you know, what you would know because you've been covering Gopher football for so long, but Noel Mazzoni's here.
Yeah.
Mark Snyder's here.
I saw Snyder's on the staff, yeah.
Yeah, on our staff.
I couldn't believe how many former head coaches there are. Snyder was the head coach, and Marshall, you got the former Kansas head coach, and they're position coaches, yeah, now.
And Steve Loney's here.
Steve Loney, yep. I was just talking to one of his Iowa State players yesterday, yeah.
Yep. So I kind of didn't know what to expect. You know, Mike Riley and I, he's the head coach of New Jersey Generals.
Yeah.
We coached together back in 1985 and 86 at Northern Colorado.
Wow. He ended up in Nebraska for a while, and of course San Diego Chargers.
Yeah. Chargers and, yeah, Oregon State. And, you know, so who knows But having been down at the high school level the last 4 years, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21, and being pretty much retired, this has been a big ask. You know, I turned 69 while we're down here. I've been down here since March 15th.
Wow.
So living in a hotel room. So all that stuff that we used to do when we were younger.
Yeah.
And it was no big deal.
Yeah.
It kind of gets old.
It's a big deal now if you want. I got one last question for you, Gordy. I don't want to end on a sad note, but I meant to reach out to you earlier. The death of Marion Barber III, obviously, you were the offensive line coach. He was the running back. You work in sync. You knew him because you also recruited Minnesota so hard.
I recruited Marion. I recruited his brother, Dom.
Yep.
I did not recruit Thomas because Thomas was in a diaper.
Mm-hmm.
When I recruited the two older brothers, I've been in touch with the family several times since this happened. You know, I had an opportunity that I didn't take to coach at Hamlin in 2011. Marion was living up in Minneapolis at that time, and I was going to have him be my running back coach if I did take that job.
Yeah.
Then in 14, I was down at the University of Houston when he got in a little issue with, you know, the law.
Yep.
And I could tell, I mean, and I don't want people to take us the wrong way, but Marion wasn't Marion. The young man that I recruited, he's such a tremendous person. And the parents, I know Marion Sr. and Karen very well.
Yep.
And Dom lives very close to my home.
Great guy.
And I've been able to help them tie up some loose ends through some connections down here at USFL that have helped them in some of their questions that they've had. I think, are they going to have a memorial on the 22nd?
I'm not sure of a date.
Yeah. Dom didn't.
But boy, that had to hit you hard when you got the news, though, huh?
I always would tell our running backs and my offensive line these Marion Barber stories while we were playing games here, and then they came in, and I had already known on that Wednesday evening what happened, but they were all very, very appreciative and said, you doing okay, coach? I said, yeah, but it's hard to get over.
Yeah.
It's hard to get past. It was a bad week for me.
Yep.
Because I knew him so well, and he was such a great person. The family is, and I guess Thomas got married last Friday.
Yeah, had a wedding there too. Yep.
And that was Marion's birthday, also, I believe. it's just too bad that it happened the way it did.
Yep.
And he was kind of out of touch with his family on and off for the last couple, 3-4 years. If I could have, I would have jumped in the car and gone down and talked with him. If anybody would have had any inkling of what was going on. But the Gopher Nation has lost a great one there.
Sure.
But it's just a
tough one.
Really tough one. But you know, there's a couple Gophers up here in this league. Green, I think is his last name. I mean, they came after
that kid out of East Ridge. Yeah.
Lineman, offensive lineman, and the other guy's a tight end or a H-back or something like that. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to driving back up to Minnesota.
I'll bet you are, man. I'm going to call you soon, okay? I'll let you go, but I'm going to call you soon, and I want to go out to lunch and hear some of the real stories.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you all
the real ones. All right, Gordy, we'll let you go, but great to talk to you, and thanks for giving us some time.
Yes, thank you, Mike. Take care.
You bet. Gordy Shaw. I got to, there's no profession like the coaching profession. I'll explain what I mean when we come back. Stay with us. REO Speedwagon Reunion Tour 93. 8-track tapes available in the concourse for just $6.99. You too can ride with Rio. Tell you what, that was real music back in the day. Not like they do now. This is real music. I grew up in an area where these guys were artists. They were truly committed to their profession, not just throw it in there and get a bunch of people to mix it together. And, you know, you got 18 different mixes on it. And no, not in that day, man. They just turned it out. It was pure. It was, man. If you got the right song, the right night in the right dorm room, you know, things happen. That's all I want to say. But REO Speedwagon, I have to thank for some of that. There is no, I don't know of all the professions that I've seen. Maybe there's one, but I don't know of any that's more addictive than coaching. I don't think there is one that I can think of that I've seen. The people that coach are always coaches for the rest of their lives. Even if they get out of coaching, it is so ingrained in their blood that they never really leave coaching. Gordy Shaw is a great example. He's 69 years old. What does he need to prove coaching? He's coached all over the country. He's done everything he could do as an offensive line coach. And then he gets a call one day. And as soon as he does, he starts to salivate because coaching is who he is, what he does. And guys will travel all over the country to coach. Why do they do that, you say? Why not just get a job that pays something comparable where you don't have to leave your home and sell your house and go all these places? Because the addiction is so intoxicating. To be on a team developing young players and to walk out on the field on Saturday or Sunday or whatever it is, or Friday night, is so electrifying. It just it will take them places all over the country just to keep their profession going. This staff that Kevin Sumlin has in the USFL, which is a league that may or may not make it beyond this year, there's nobody at the games, etc. Kevin Sumlin coached the University of Houston, was the head coach. He was Adrian Peterson's offensive coordinator at Oklahoma. He was at Texas A&M. He was at the University of Arizona. 3 head coaching jobs. He's got a ton of money. Why come back? Because it's an addiction. It's an addiction to coach. There's nothing else in life that can fulfill it like coaching does. To have that group in the meeting room and to think about a common cause, you're trying to get these people to work together to beat another team, and then there's these variables because you don't know what the other team's going to do to you. So it keeps you so sharp and so intense and so in tune, and you never feel more alive than you do when you're on the sidelines trying to win a football game. And it's not just football, it's other sports too, that guys will commit their entire career and bounce all over the country just to be able to wear a whistle, put the ball cap on backwards. And it used to be carry a clipboard. Now it's just that you pull out the iPad and show them how to do it. But it is the most intoxifying profession that I can think of. And they love all that goes with that. And then there's the other part. You know, people in the public, you're interesting if you're a coach, right? You get a little bit different look than others do. But I've never seen anything as powerful in any career as the addiction to coach. To form a team, to develop people, to build relationships. And that's what it's about. They love those relationships. They love to compete. Everything you'd want in life. Great relationships, opportunity to compete, adrenaline of performance. All that stuff gets wrapped into one. And it's really hard to leave that. And you'd be surprised the guys that will go to. And like I said, on some of the staff, assistant coaches, one was the head coach at Marshall University. He was on Glenn Mason's staff, Mark Snyder. They got the former head coach of Kansas as like a wide receivers coach. I mean, he was the head coach at Kansas. And he's now the wide receivers coach. How powerful is that addiction? In some respects, it's a blessing, and in some respects, it's a curse. When we come back, talking Mr. and Miss Baseball, it's coming up at the end of this week, how they formulate that in a short spring. How does Minnesota rank? We'll find out when we come back. Stay with us. Mike Max Sports to the Max, taking you up to the Twins and Seattle Mariners here on WCCO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Boom, boom, I walk the line. Welcome back. Gordy Shaw's kind of a cowboy. You can't keep a good coach down. Eventually, he's got a coach. That dog's got to hunt. He's got to find a place to be breaking down some X's and O's in their team. Gordy Shaw's a longtime coach at several different colleges, worked a couple of high schools and everything else. And he finds life again this spring and summer. And the newly created USFL coach for his old colleague who used to be an assistant coach here as well with him, Kevin Sumlin down at Houston, and they've got the USFL, which plays all its games in Alabama in one city, and they gather in the bubble and they just play through it. And I go, that is one interesting study as to how people get through that, do it, all that stuff. Joining us down the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, the one and only Gordy Shaw. Gordy, you just can't stay away from coaching, can you? Tell me this, what led you to the USFL?
Well, Kevin gave me a call back just after Christmas and New Year's, and said he'd like to coach with me. And I said, let me think about it. And once they got the details worked out of how it was going to work and all that other stuff, I decided to go ahead. I've never been able to coach at the professional level. So it's been enjoyable. The players that I coach are the best athletes I've ever been able to coach in my life. Mm-hmm. Their football knowledge level is at a very, very high level. So it's been very, very interesting and exciting that way. There's been our ups and downs. And then there's been a lot of things that I've never, ever had happen in coaching. I mean,
such as what?
We just beat the undefeated team,
yep,
in the USFL Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also lost four games on the last play of the game by 1 point.
Last play of the game, four times.
Last play of the game, we've had the lead, and they've scored or kicked a field goal to beat us. So it cuts both ways, Mike, you know. Football is football.
Okay, but you coaches, you always want to have full control over your team. You know, you can't get enough hours with your team. You got it down there because there ain't nothing else going on. They're not going home. They're staying in motels. How much time do you spend on football a day? How do you do this?
No, so, I mean, we as coaches spend a lot of time on football because you take a Division II coaching staff,
yep,
you know, NC2A division. That's about the size of our staffs.
Okay.
We have no GAs, no IT people, no, nothing like that.
Okay.
So we got to draw our cards, make our scripts, print our practice plans. We do it all.
Okay.
So it's like that. Really, it's a myth that we're all here in this one hotel. A lot of the coaches are. But once the week and a half, we only had a week and a half of football camp.
Yeah,
you know, to get them ready.
Yep.
The players could move out, and they found that it was a lot cheaper to get two or three of them together in an apartment than it would be to stay and pay the price of living here.
Okay.
So the next hurdle is we've got four practice sites.
Okay.
And eight football teams. So one team practices in the morning, one team practices in the afternoon. It's like our practice site is Sanford University, you know, where Bobby Bowden started.
Sure.
His coaching career. So New Orleans goes there in the morning, so they get on the bus at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they go over to Sanford, and they get back about 12:30. Well, we meet with our players in the morning, and then
Where do you meet at? Did they give you a locker room or a meeting room at the hotel or what?
No. So the players have a locker room across the street in the Birmingham Convention Center.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the weight room is also,
yep.
a made-up weight room.
Yep.
And the training facilities and all that stuff. And then we have, 4 times 8. So that's 32 meeting rooms on the atrium level of the Sheraton here where they would have conventions, you know, and have meeting
yep.
rooms.
Yep.
So each team gets 4 of those.
Okay.
So you can break up after you have your, but they're not very big.
Yep.
But so we use them in the morning, and then when Birmingham comes back, they meet with their players until about 5 o'clock. Once they get back and their guys go get lunch and whatever treatment, we go practice from 12:30 to 3:30. Then we come back and grab a bite to eat, and then we go back into coaching. So then we split them up 2 and 2. They get 2 of them. We get 2 of them of the 4 to meet until whatever time of night till we get the next day's practice and game planning and all that stuff. So
sure.
it's like Groundhog Day, you know, 6 days a week.
Sure. So, but Gordy, you get to the games and you don't have many fans there when you're playing a bubble like that. Does it feel different when you're coaching a game, or does it feel the same? Does it feel the same in the locker room when you win or lose, or is it different?
Oh, it's a little different on game day. Now, like Saturday, we played Birmingham.
Yep.
So there was 30,000 fans in the stands, right? Because they're following their team.
Their hometown team, yeah.
If you're fortunate enough to play on a day that they're playing on, the way that USFL has done it, excuse me, Mike, is one ticket gets you into both games on that day.
Okay.
And kids get in free, and then they always have a Birmingham kind of like giveaway. You know, one day yep. it was Beach Charles, one day it's this, one day, you know how they do it at the Gopher game.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that game usually has maybe 5,000 to 8,000 fans that come early or stay after the game. Follow me?
Yeah, yep.
On the Friday night game or the Sunday game, I don't think Birmingham's played on a Sunday yet, if I get this right. They usually always get the night
prime time, yep.
slot on Saturday.
Yep.
But we have not played on a Friday either, but we've drawn 6 of the 8 weeks we've play games. Well, really 9 now. We've played on Sunday.
Okay.
And we play next Sunday in the last game of the year.
Last game of the
against
year.
New Orleans.
And then on to Canton for some, mm-hmm. yeah. Now, well, tell me this. Yeah. What keeps Kevin Sumlin coaching? He coached at Houston. He coached A&M. He coached Arizona. He's made a lot of money. What brings him back to coaching? What drives him?
I think he still loves football. And I think in his heart, he would like to give it one more go.
Sure. See if he can find a job again somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, this is a job, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. this is his head coaching opportunity at this level.
Yep.
But you don't know what springs from this. It's really kind of funny because you know what you would know because you've been covering Gopher football for so long. But Noel Mazzoni's here.
Yeah.
Mark Snyder's here.
I saw Snyder's on the staff. Yeah.
Yeah, on our staff.
I couldn't believe how many former head coaches there are. Snyder was the head coach, and Marshall, you got the former Kansas head coach, and they're position coaches now.
And Steve Loney's here.
Steve Loney, yep. I was just talking to one of his Iowa State players yesterday, yeah.
Yep. So I kind of didn't know what to expect. You know, Mike Riley and I, he's the head coach of New Jersey Generals. Yeah. We coached together back in 1985 and 86 at Northern Colorado.
Wow. He ended up in Nebraska for a while, and of course, San Diego Chargers.
Yeah. Chargers and Oregon State. And, you know, so who knows? Having been down at the high school level the last 4 years, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21, and being pretty much retired, this has been a big ask. You know, I turned 69 while we're down here. I've been down here since March 15th.
Wow.
So living in a hotel room. So all that stuff that we used to do when we were younger.
Yeah.
And it was no big deal. Yeah. It kind of gets old.
It's a big deal now if you want. I got one last question for you, Gordy. I don't want to end on a sad note, but I meant to reach out to you earlier. The death of Marion Barber III, obviously, you were the offensive line coach. He was the running back. You work in sync. You knew him because you also recruited Minnesota so hard.
I recruited Marion. I recruited his brother, Dom.
Yep.
I did not recruit Thomas because Thomas was in a diaper. Mm-hmm. When I recruited the two older brothers, I've been in touch with the family several times since this happened. You know, I had an opportunity that I didn't take to coach at Hamlin in 2011. Marion was living up in Minneapolis at that time, and I was going to have him be my running back coach if I did take that job.
Yeah.
Then in 14, I was down at the University of Houston when he got in a little issue with, you know, the law.
Yep.
And I could tell, I mean, and I don't want people to take us the wrong way, but Marion wasn't Marion. The young man that I recruited, he's such a tremendous person. And the parents, I know Marion Sr. and Karen very well.
Yep.
And Dom lives very close to my home. Back
great,
in
great guy. Dom's a great guy. Know. Yep.
And I guess, I mean, I've been able to help them tie up some loose ends through some connections down here at USFL that have helped them in some of their questions that they've had. I think, are they going to have a memorial on the 22nd?
I'm not sure of a date.
Yeah, Dom didn't.
But boy, that had to hit you hard when you got the news, though, huh?
Oh, I always would tell our running backs and my offensive line these Marion Barber stories while we were playing games here.
Sure.
And then they came in, and I had already known on that Wednesday evening what happened, but they were all very, very appreciative and said, you doing okay, coach? I said, yeah, but it's hard to get over.
Yeah.
It's hard to get past. It was a bad week for me.
Yep.
Because I knew him so well, and he was such a great person. The family is, and I guess Thomas got married last Friday.
Yeah, had a wedding there too. Yep.
And that was Marion's birthday, also, I believe. it's just too bad that it happened the way it did.
Yep.
And he was kind of out of touch with his family for the on and off for the last couple, 3-4 years. If I could have, I would have jumped in the car and gone down and talked with him. If anybody would have had any inkling of what was going on. But, the Gopher Nation has lost a great one there.
Sure.
But it's just a
tough one.
A really tough one. But You know, there's a couple Gophers up here in this league. Green, I think, is his last name. I mean, they came after
that kid out of East Ridge, yeah.
Lineman, offensive lineman, and the other guy's a tight end or a H-back or something like that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to driving back up to Minnesota.
I'll bet you are, man. I'm going to call you soon, okay? I'll let you go, but I'm going to call you soon, and I want to go out to lunch and hear some of the real stories.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give you all the real ones. All right, Gordy, we'll let you go, but great to talk to you, and thanks for giving us some time.
Yes, thank you, Mike. Take care.
You bet. Gordy Shaw. I got to tell you, there's no profession like the coaching profession. I'll explain what I mean when we come back. Stay with us. REO Speedwagon Reunion Tour 93. 8-track tapes available in the concourse for just $6.99. You too can ride with Rio. Tell you what, that was real music back in the day. Not like they do now. This is real music. I grew up in an area where these guys were artists. They were truly committed to their profession, not just throw it in there and get a bunch of people to mix it together. And, you know, you got 18 different mixes on it. And no, not in that day, man. They just turned it out. It was pure. It was, man. If you got the right song, the right night in the right dorm room, you know, things happen. That's all I'm going to say, but REO Speedwagon, I have to thank for some of that. There is no, I don't know of all the professions that I've seen, maybe there's one, but I don't know of any that's more addictive than coaching. I don't think there is one that I can think of that I've seen. The people that coach are always coaches for the rest of their lives. Even if they get out of coaching, it is so ingrained in their blood that they never really leave coaching. Gordy Shaw is a great example. He's 69 years old. What does he need to prove coaching? He's coached all over the country. He's done everything he could do as an offensive line coach, and then he gets a call one day. And as soon as he does, he starts to salivate because coaching is who he is, what he does. And guys will travel all over the country to coach. Why do they do that, you say? Why not just get a job that pays something comparable where you don't have to leave your home and sell your house and go all these places? Because the addiction is so intoxicating to be on a team developing young players and to walk out on the field on Saturday or Sunday or whatever it is, or Friday night, is so electrifying. It just, and it will take them places all over the country just to keep their profession going. This staff that Kevin Sumlin has in the USFL, which is a league that may or may not make it beyond this year, there's nobody at the games, et cetera. Kevin Sumlin coached the University of Houston, was the head coach. He was Adrian Peterson's offensive coordinator at Oklahoma. He was at Texas A&M. He was at the University of Arizona. 3 head coaching jobs. He's got a ton of money. Why come back? Because it's an addiction. It's an addiction to coach. There's nothing else in life that can fulfill it like coaching does. To have that group in the meeting room and to think about a common cause, you're trying to get these people to work together to beat another team, and then there's these variables because you don't know what the other team's going to do to you. So it keeps you so sharp and so intense and so in tune, and you never feel more alive than you do when you're on the sidelines trying to win a football game. And it's not just football. It's other sports, too. That guys will commit their entire career and bounce all over the country just to be able to wear a whistle, put the ball cap on backwards. And it used to be carry a clipboard. Now it's just that you pull out the iPad and show them how to do it. But it is the most intoxifying profession that I can think of. And they love all that goes with that. And then there's the other part. You know, people in the public, you're interesting if you're a coach, right? You get a little bit different look than others do. But I've never seen anything as powerful in any career as the addiction to coach, to form a team, to develop people, to build relationships. And that's what it's about. They love those relationships. They love to compete. Everything you'd want in life. Great relationships, opportunity to compete, adrenaline of performance. All that stuff gets wrapped into one. And it's really hard to leave that. And you'd be surprised the guys that will go to. And like I said, on some of the staff, assistant coaches, one was the head coach at Marshall University. He was on Glenn Mason's staff, Mark Snyder. They got the former head coach of Kansas as like a wide receivers coach. I mean, he was the head coach at Kansas. He's now the wide receivers coach. How powerful is that addiction? In some respects, it's a blessing, and in some respects, it's a curse. When we come back, talking Mr. and Miss Baseball, it's coming up at the end of this week. How they formulate that in a short spring. How does Minnesota rank? We'll find out when we come back. Stay with us. Mike Max, Sports to the Max, taking you up to the Twins and Seattle Mariners here on WCCO. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. High school tournaments. Rob Horn will join us a bit later. He's the architect of the Bedell St. Margaret's boys lacrosse team that has been number one in the state and taken prisoners here. They open it tomorrow in that heat. We'll talk to him about that. How do you prepare for the heat? When you haven't had any heat, you have no dress rehearsals this year. You go from sweatshirts and gloves to all of a sudden you're in T-shirts and make sure you get the suntan lotion and all the Gatorade, and that's what they'll do. Joining us as we prepare for the Minnesota Twins and Seattle Mariners, on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Matt Williams, he is in charge of, one of the people in charge of, the Mr. Baseball Miss Softball Award, which will be presented this Sunday at Target Field in conjunction with the Twins. I have the pleasure and honor of emceeing the event again this Sunday, and it's always kind of a fun foray because in softball, baseball, the seasons come upon us so quickly, and then they're over, and you don't get a chance to spend a lot of time watching these teams, so you're not quite sure who's all good and who's not, but Matt Williams is in the middle of it, and he joins us now. Matt, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Max. Thank you, Mikey.
What do we got? Explain to the people listening when they put together, who decides, who do you get out there to watch these players that you whittle it down to just the five and then eventually a winner in each category?
Well, we rely on the experts, and the experts are the coaches in high school, college, and those pro scouts as well for baseball that have their pulse on what's going on here in Minnesota.
And
softball as well.
So they watch carefully, and then do you bring it to a committee meeting, or how does it come together?
Well, we're not voters. The Minnesota All Sports Alliance, formerly the Minutemen, we don't vote on this. We just
facilitate.
Essentially facilitate. Yes, yes. So we'll tally those votes up, and then based on the rankings that are provided, we announce who the finalists are.
And then on Sunday, we name the winner. And I guess I've never asked. So whoever's on that committee though decides, in essence, they vote on the winner.
Winner, right? Mike.
What?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what it'll be. And you actually you won't find out until Sunday.
No, I have no idea. I never have any idea when I go there. I just sit and listen to the resumes. Matt, are you surprised sometimes by how many good players there are? And I'm always surprised by not just who makes it, but who doesn't make it that's really good.
Well, that's the problem here in Minnesota. The softball and the baseball players, there's such a great amount of them. It's really a tough decision to make when it comes down to it. Not really a decision. It's just the numbers that make the decision. But ultimately, when you get a full season like we've had finally, it's nice to be able to rely on those players to define themselves to the coaches.
Now, explain the Sports Alliance and the Minutemen and these groups and how they come together and do things for the state.
Well, back when we lost the Lakers, we didn't have pro sports in town. So there was a group called the Minutemen back in the 50s, and they got together, St. Paul and Minneapolis, and they raised the bond and built the Met Stadium, which brought the Twins and the Vikes to Minnesota. And obviously, the pro teams don't need, the businessmen's help anymore. They've got that all taken care of. But ultimately, our mission now is to honor the elite athletes and amateur athletes in Minnesota. And then what we really do is they're focusing on how do we keep, Mike, how do we have kids stay in sports at a youth level? And when you've got an organization like the Twins Community Fund that's really behind softball and baseball all the way throughout Minnesota, the upper Midwest, and you got a guy like you, one of the best in the biz, really helping to keep that alive in our youth and keep it exciting, it really makes it much easier for us. But ultimately, there are parents or in some cases, single-parent homes, who have to make a decision about, and you know this, how much it costs to play sports.
Oh, it just sickens me. You know what really sickens me, Matt, and you understand this, it'd be easier if people were transparent, but some of them, because of pride, because their kids don't want to tell anybody, they don't say, hey, the reason I'm not playing is because we can't afford it. And they come up with a different reason or excuse, and it just breaks my heart when I find out later that the kids have done this.
Yeah, exactly. When you have these great coaches, you know, two of which will honor, you know, in baseball and softball this year of lifetime achievements, you have a mentorship built into sports. And, you know, those peer pressure ages, sixth grade to 12th grade, what our goal and mission is to find a way to raise the money, have a well from our 501c3 foundation, and reach out. And we're going to be working with, athletic directors and coaches for high school boys and girls programs and finding a way to supplement those in need who really want to stay in sports but can't. And I think with those coaches that we have, those great coaches in Minnesota, I'd rather keep them in organized activities versus, you know, unattended after school.
Absolutely. How are we doing on that front? Are we able to provide a lot of opportunities? Are we able to identify a lot of the kids that need it?
Well, and that's going to be more of a come together situation. That's kind of, you know, after COVID here with that mission, we needed to reboot this program. So we're building out our board. I've got Mark Parrish. You might know Mark.
Yeah,
he's going to be on our board with us. I've been knocking on Justin Morneau's door. I'm going to probably knock on yours, Mike.
Keep knocking. And, keep knocking on Morneau's door. He's got access. You know,
he's got too many kids. But, you know, it's a great, you know, it's so much, it's so worth it when you have a mission, you have the right people around you, and then you have an organization like the Minnesota Twins and the Minnesota Twins Community Fund really supporting this initiative with us to help keep youth, ball alive.
Yeah. How did you get involved in it, Matt?
Well, back in 98, I had a boss when I was employed, and he said, you know, go find a community event that you're passionate about. And I was selfish, so I decided I would love sports so much, I would join the Minutemen. And the Minutemen, eventually, when I took over the presidency of it, you know, I really felt that we needed to be more inclusive. And so what we had, you know, since changed the name to is the Minnesota All Sports Alliance. And that is inclusive of all, you know, all sexes, all races, and not that it wasn't any, you know, void of that. But ultimately, we are fully inclusive. So we do high school boys and girls sports, senior athletes, and we celebrate. And so I got involved, you know, kind of sitting in the back of the room and watching some of these bigwigs from the old days impress me. And I just decided I needed to be part of something, not just sit in the background.
Yeah, part of the solution, right?
You know it.
So if somebody wants to get involved with the Sports Alliance, what do they do?
Well, there's a number of different ways. I mean, I'd certainly be happy to speak with them directly. However, I think the best way is we've got the MinnesotaMinutemen.com is also funneling to the Minnesota Sports Alliance .com. So we go by the acronym MASA, M-A-S-A. Yep. And, you know, certainly welcome to have. We'll be putting on the Mr. Lacrosse, Miss Lacrosse Award, as well as the Mr. Baseball, Miss Softball Award, the Play Ball Minnesota Banquet coming up this Sunday. And, you know, we'd love to have people visit us. Our website is changing over from the Minnesota Minutemen, and it will be, you know, currently there people can find us online there and the Minnesota Sports Alliance as well.
Well, Matt, I look forward to seeing you on Sunday, and all due respect, one thing I've never wanted to be called in my life was a Minuteman.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
What do you think I changed that for? Why do you think I changed that for, Mike? You're a smart guy to know that.
All right, big guy. Good to visit with you.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
You bet, Matt Williams. I've been called a lot of things in my life. I just don't know if I ever want to be called a Minuteman. Back after this. No, I'm sorry. I flashback. College. Sorry about that. Hammer, you know, we were just talking about the Mr. Baseball, Miss Softball. You grew up in Wisconsin. Are these states mirror images of each other? Are they much different sports-wise in terms of the high school level and whatnot?
I think they're pretty similar. The only difference I know seems like Minnesota is always a week behind whatever Wisconsin is doing in terms of like state titles and playoffs. And
when
such
they
like
play.
That. Yes.
But like a lot of good football players come out of Wisconsin.
Yes.
It seems like more than Minnesota, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
You look at the Wisconsin roster, the Minnesota roster. It just seems like a lot of Wisconsin kids feed you know, big programs.
Yeah, I don't really have a reason why that is exactly, but, you know, Wisconsin's always had a strong group of teams in high school level in the state. I mean, I know growing up where I was from, Antigo was pretty powerful in the 70s and 80s.
Yep.
And then, you know, as you know, the city, as you know, time went on, the city enrollment decreased and everything. So now we went from being a D1 program to a D3 program just because people are graduating, leaving town. Okay. Well, other schools in our conference, like DC Everest, which is just outside of Wausau, Wisconsin.
I hear that name a lot.
Has been a constant players. Powerhouse for most of the time, too, along with Stevens Point and Wisconsin Rapids. Those are the big schools you had to deal with in the Wisconsin Valley Conference back in my day.
And maybe part of it is, you know, Minnesota recruits Wisconsin heavy because Wisconsin can't take them all. They're the only Division I school there. So maybe that's why it resonates with me, huh?
Well, I think I remember when Barry Alvarez got there, I think his plan was to build a wall around the state of Wisconsin, take the players he could. The ones he wanted. And then you, like, he had these hot recruiting areas like New Jersey and Missouri, too, I believe. And that's
how New Jersey did him well.
Yes, they did.
The New Jersey pipeline. I mean, Ron Dane, obviously, the focal point, but there were many, many more.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, like, if you want to get a good lineman or so, Wisconsin's got a ton of them because, you know, all we do is French run the football.
And so they've come to Minnesota and got a couple linemen, but in general, most of those linemen come from Wisconsin, huh?
Yes, for the most part, from what I've noticed, yes.
Okay. Yeah, interesting because I've always, you know, I don't spend a lot of time comparing and contrasting. Obviously, hockey's, you know, there's more teams playing hockey here, et cetera, you know, so you're not going to see as
many. Yeah, we're way behind you guys on hockey.
But I always wondered, like, if you were to take the top basketball teams in Wisconsin high school versus the top basketball teams in Minnesota, would it be virtually, you know, would they be alternating who wins and who doesn't? Or are they that close? Or is one, you know, are the teams from Milwaukee much better than the teams from Minneapolis? I don't know.
I feel the teams from Minneapolis would probably be teams from Milwaukee.
Really?
Yeah, because it seems like Minneapolis is like the same schools there year after year, like De La Salle or Minneapolis North or so forth. Well, Milwaukee, it's like, you know, some years it's going to be Milwaukee Washington, some year Milwaukee Vincent or Milwaukee King. It's like those three schools kind of rotate year by year depending on who's the classes and everything.
Yeah. I was with De La Salle's basketball coach's brother yesterday, and his nephew's about. He's about all of 4'10". Uh-huh. Maybe he's five. He's like 5'1" or 5'2". He's in eighth grade, and he's playing with the ninth graders yesterday, this AAU tournament that I'm watching. And I mean to tell you, he is fun to watch. He has no fear. And then on top of it, he's not only a good basketball player, but he's a good wrestler. I posted a picture of it on my Facebook page. If you get a chance, take a look at it, folks. And I just put the caption, "Ain't the size of the man in the fight," which is, you know, you maybe have heard it, not the size of the fight and the dog in the fight, but the fight and the dog. So I started with that kind of quote, ain't the size of the man in the fight. And it's him being guarded by a guy that's about 6'1". And so if you want to check it out on my Facebook page, it's there. And you can give your thoughts. But to me, it's like, this is the circuit. This is balling, man. This is AAU ball. This is where you just go play. I don't care how big you are, but I get to the basket on you. I'm going to lock you up. I'm going to do something that you're not going to be able to guard me because of. And it's a cool picture because it's this Akeem, and he's looking this kid straight up. He's got the ball. And it's like, you can almost see it. It's like, I'm going to break you down. I'm going to break your ankles, man. I don't care how big I am. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to go around you. Don't give me the open three. I'm going to make you pay. And that's kind of the way he plays the game. But he's also a great wrestler, which is also in the wintertime. And I don't think I've ever heard of that combination where someone had got to that age and they were still really good at both sports. And so he's trying to figure out a way he can participate in both going forward. I've never heard of that, but I guess it could happen. When we come back, how are you going to play in the heat tomorrow? We'll ask the Benilde St. Margaret's number one ranked coach, the veteran Rob Horn, about just that as the lacrosse state tournament and much more kicks off this week here in Minnesota. That's coming up next as we take you up to the Twins in Seattle on News Talk 830 WCCO, your home to the Timberwolves and the Twins.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.